Blog Talk Radio.
Job going around back and forth between his friends.
And I don't really want to dwell on that this morning. I want to skip to the chase of this thing because, you know, in the end we find out about his friend, and there is a lesson within that. But yet what we want to do is we want to focus on Job and his response. Elihu, a young brother, responds to, you know, Job and to the other three friends that come along to supposedly comfort him. But, they, you know, it's found out that they really are not friends. And so we're going to look into this matter this morning because why does Yah allow bad things? Because he's Yah. And he's in control of everything, and we may not know why, and we may not even agree, but it's not up to us to agree. And so we're going to look at this because the Most High is the Most High, and Job knows this. And, you know, Job wants to, he really wants to die when it really comes down to it. He's like, you know, what have I done? And I wish, you know, I wish the day that I was conceived never happened. Or I wish that, you know, when I came from the womb, I went from the womb to the grave. He is deeply hurt, yet he knows that everything is in the Most High's hands, but he still is troubled in his spirit. And in the end, his friends really believe that he is righteous in his own eyes. That's the conclusion that they come to. And so we're going to pick up the story there on this morning, cut to the chase. I don't want to go through all the back and forth that Job goes through with his friends. We want to come up to the point where Job has finished, his parable to his friends. And this young brother, Elihu, says, you know, I've held my peace and I've not spoken. And Elihu is really speaking on behalf of the Most High, on behalf of the Most High. But Yah, then Yah shows up himself to address Job. And we may not read all of that, but we're going to read some of it so that you get the gist, so that you get understanding. And what I got out of reading this morning, you know, sometimes you forget what you've read or you forget the significance of it, but you're still acting on it, but you forget, you know, details. And so we want to look at this thing because what I am seeing in this, what the Most High says to Job, and we're going to read this. Mankind himself, all of man, those that think that they are wise, those that say that they seek after knowledge, those that say they want to know the mysteries, really what they want to do is they want to void out the Most High. He says, where were you when I did these things? And they're trying to understand everything that the Most High has done. And really, this is what science is all about. And we really need to take a hard look at science itself. And it's not that the Most High expects us not to have science, but what I'm seeing in this in the reading, and I had this understanding before, like I said, sometimes if you don't read something for a long time, some of the truths of it you forget. Even though you might walk in them, you still forget the details. And so we're going to take a look at this on this morning so that we can place the Most High in the right position in our lives so that we get understanding as to his sovereignty and that we have an understanding that he is controlling everything, good and evil. He is controlling it all. And so, sometimes we may open our mouths against some things we ought not open our mouths against. It can be hard because we all have an opinion. But sometimes we can even sin in our opinion. Okay, and so we want to look at this thing on this morning. I want to greet everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general. Whether you're in North America or South America, if you're on the African continent, if you're in the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, or any of the communist bloc countries, we greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach on this morning. Jesus the Christ in the English. Let us do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture, or let me have the ladies who cover their heads, all men uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 14. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2.
And he is now in the conference.
And let me mute that line. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. My whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Okay, and if you are, if you will mute yourselves on your end, we'll get some background noise. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Well, let's give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Yah. We just glorify you, Father, on this morning. We lift you up. We magnify your name, O Yah Elohim, and we extol thee, Father. We extol thee and we magnify you. Far above everything that there is, Father, for you are truly great and you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy and there is none good but you, O Father, none. None but you, Father. And we have to always remember that, Father, that you are the only wise and true potentate and you are the only good one. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yah. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to you. Hallelujah. Holy hand praise to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that we should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins, as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our sin and repent from our wicked ways, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel and that you would deliver us from this captivity. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you. And, Father, we are turning from our wicked ways and we are repenting from our sins. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. Father, we come before you this morning, meek and in humbleness, in fear of you, Father. For there is none like unto you. No one is mightier than you, Father. Not the mighty man, not the richest man, not the poorest man. But it is your word and your word alone that shall stand in the earth this morning. Forgive us our shortcomings. Open our mind and our eyes to understand that you alone reign and there is no other. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Let us on this morning get Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. That's all we need on this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar.
Say no weapon formed You are my shield, my glory. This are all my my times of trouble. You are the King, there's no other besides you. You are my Redeemer from the ones I was sold to. And I am so grateful that we're the apple of your eye. And you are my rock, you are my fortress, you are my strength, and you are my deliverer. So how long shall we bear this oppression? I call on your name right now.
Yeah, reveal yourself.
Reveal yourself to me.
Show me the way I'm supposed to
be. Reveal yourself to me. Please reveal yourself to me. Reveal yourself to me. Oh, 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 oh. Yeah, reveal yourself to me. Yeah, reveal yourself.
Doesn't curse read, start at verse 11. Job chapter 2, starting at verse 11. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came, everyone from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, and I still didn't bring my glasses. I've been reading all morning without my glasses. And Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Temanite, the Naamanite. Good grief, I really need my God. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn him and to comfort him. Now, this is what they're saying, to mourn and comfort him. But really, in their heart, they got another agenda. Okay? And because all of this stuff has fallen on Job, the truth of the matter is they feel that there is some iniquity. You know, you've been preaching to everybody, and you've been, counseling people, and you've done this. Now, we're going to read we're not going to read all this going back and forth, okay, but we're going to read in the beginning what Job says and then how they respond to him, okay? And when they lifted up their eyes after afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent everyone his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their head toward heaven. Now they are looking at him afar off, but they don't recognize him. You know, he's been truly afflicted. He's lost weight. He's sickly. He's sore, full of sores. And they rent their clothes. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Now, Job has not sinned and spoken a word against the Most High. And 7 days and seven nights, they're sitting with him, and they don't speak a word. They see how much in torment he is. Go to chapter 3. So after 7 days and seven nights, after this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. Now I want you to consider this. You've lost everything. You have been living your whole life. The thing I want us to understand is that Job truly fears the Most High. He is afraid of the Most High, and he is afraid of transgressing against the Most High. And so we're going to read this, Job is going to make a statement, and we're going to read the response of his friends to him. We're not going to read all of them because it goes back and forth for about another 23 chapters. We're not going to go through all that. We're just going to get the gist of this. Maybe another time we'll come back and we'll break each one of these back and forth down. But the bottom line is they think Job is a hypocrite. The bottom line. Okay, so let's read this. And Job spake and said, let this day perish wherein I was born. I wish the day that I was born never happened. And the night in which it was said, there is a man child conceived, that I even hate the time that I was conceived. I wish I was never conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not man regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the month. Let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. I mean, he's cursing the day he was conceived. I wish this day had never happened for all this stuff that has come upon me. Okay. Let them curse it. That curse the day who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day, because it is shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from my eyes. I wish that my mother's womb had never been opened to conceive me. I mean, this man is in some gruesome pain. Now, all of this because of what has happened to him. Okay. Why died I not from the womb? Why didn't I die from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why did the breast that I should suck? In other words, why didn't his mother stop his birth? And why did she feed him? For now I should have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept, then had been at rest with kings and with counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves. Or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver, or as a hidden untimely birth, I had not been, as infants which never saw light. I wish I was still, if I had to be conceived and born, I wish I was still born. There the wicked see some trouble, and there the weary be at rest. The dead know nothing, in other words, is what he's saying. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there, and the servant is free from the master. Wherefore, or why is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in the soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for the hidden treasures? So Job is really, he's in a bad way. And he's hating the day he was conceived, the day he was born. He wished he was still born. You know, he's saying, you know, those that are in misery search for death, that are in true misery search for death more than they search for treasure. Death is their treasure. Don't worry about anything after they're gone. Which rejoice exceeding and are glad when they can find the grave. Why is the light given to a man whose way is hid and whom Elohim has hedged in? Now, Job knows that all of this is brought on him by the Most High. But he don't know why. And through all of these exchanges that he goes through with these three brothers that come to mourn with him and to comfort him, he wants answers. You know, you're wise. You think you're wise. You think you know the Most High. Tell me why this is happening to me. Tell me, what did I do to deserve this? You know, if there's some iniquity in me, show me so I can, you know, repent of it. Do something. All right? So he's really hurting really bad. Okay, and if you are trying to live for the Most High, you're doing all that you can to live for the Most High, and then something bad happens to you. Something comes upon you. It seems like you have been cursed. And you search yourself. And you still can't see you have done wrong in your heart of heart. You're right. In your heart of heart, you have not sinned against the Most High. You have not walked according, you know, from the time that you've learned to fear him, you haven't done it. Now, when you were, you know, he talks about his youth and the iniquities of his youth. He wasn't always right, but he learned to fear the Most High. Okay. That is the issue here. And all through this, you know, if you read this story for yourself, you're going to see that he has a great fear of the Most High, and all of his actions are out of that fear. But he also has an issue, which we'll read about a little bit later. For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my sighing comes before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. You know, I'm moaning before I eat, and, you know, sighing in depression and in agony, and my roaring, you know, my strength is poured out of me like water. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. I did the things that I was told to do. I did all these, and still trouble came. Okay. Go to chapter 4. Now, we're going to read this first one, this first rebuke that he receives from his friend, and just understand that it is more of the same from the other two. That's why I don't want to read it all, because it's more of the same of this. Okay. They just, what they do is everything that Job says, they find a rebuke for it. Just understand that, but let's hear this. Then Eliphaz, the Temanite, answered and said, if we essay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? So this word, essay, if we attempt to commune with you, if we attempt to talk with you, to comfort you, wilt thou be grieved? Are you going to remain grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? So we're going to speak. You know, if we try to comfort you, will you continue to grieve? But we're going to speak anyway. But they're going to speak on their what's really in their mind and in their heart. They're not really here to comfort him. And these are his friends, his closest friends. They have rent their clothes, torn their clothes because of what he's gone through. But that's really only for appearance. Okay? So let's read this. And we're going to read his response. We're not going to read, you know, we're not going to read Job's response to him, and then the next man response, and his response to Job, and then the next man response, and his response to Job. And it goes back and forth for about 23, 24 chapters. Okay? So I'm going to give you the overview and the gist of it. If we essay or we attempt to commune with you, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? But, you know, whether you're going to be grieved or not, or if you're going to continue to grieve or not, we're going to still speak because we got something to say. Behold, thou hast instructed many. Now, hear this about Job, and hear what this man is about to say to him. You have taught many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hand. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it is come upon you. So what he's saying is, hey, you have taught people what you believe and what you believe and know about the Most High. And you have strengthened the hands of the weak. And the words, thy words have upholden or lifted up him that has fallen. And thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. Those that are weak in the knees, they're just weak in their walk. They are weak in their mentality. They are feeble. But now it has come upon you. Now, when these people were going through this stuff, you encouraged them. You lifted them up. You strengthened them. But now some adversity has come upon you, and you faint. You are dreading the day that you were born. So they're saying, you know, what he's saying sounds hypocritical to them. It touched you and you are troubled. Now, evidently, all this whole time in Job's life, you know, as, you know, the Most High has blessed him, when people were in trouble, when people were, you know, going through, Job has been there to lift them up, to help them out, and tell them, you know, it's all in Yah's hands, and be strong. Don't let it get you down. Don't let it trouble you. And now adversity has come to you, and you're going to faint. So you get this picture. Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy way? Is not that what you're afraid of? That your confidence and your hope and the uprightness of your ways, that they ain't all that you've been saying? Ain't that what you're really afraid of? Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished, be innocent. Or where were the righteous cut off? Because in their minds and in their heart, if you righteous, if you were truly righteous, ain't none of this supposed to happen to you. Now, I'm giving you, because he's really summing it up for all 3 men that's going to talk. This is their basically their attitude. This wouldn't have came on you if you were really righteous, if you really believed what you were saying. This would not have come on you. As I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Now think about what's happened to Job. He's lost everything. So this man is actually accusing him that he's been plowing iniquity in secret and sowing wickedness in secret, and that now he is reaping the same. By the blast of Elohim they perish, and by the breath of his nostrils are they consumed. The roaring of the lion and the voice of the fierce lion and the teeth of the young lion are broken. Now, this describes Job to a T as far as what they are seeing happening to him. You know, you done lost your strength. You have been consumed. And it's all because you were really wicked. You've been telling people all this time to live a certain way, and that Yah, you know, to fear Yah and keep the commandments, and, you know, Yah is in control of everything, and that, you know, the righteous are blessed, and now here you are looking like the wicked. This stuff has come upon you because secretly you got some sin, or you've been sinning and nobody knows about it. But Yah knows. So now you're reaping what you sowed. This is their mentality toward him. The old lion perished for lack of prey, and the stout lion whelps are scattered abroad. Now a thing was secretly brought to me, and my ear received a little thereof. A thing was secretly brought to him, and my ear received a little of it. Now let's see what he said. In thoughts from a vision of night, when deep sleep falls upon men, fear came upon me in trembling, which made all my bones shake. Then a spirit passed before my face, the hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before my eyes. There was, and I heard a voice saying, Shall mortal man be more just than Elohim? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he put not no trust in his servant, and his angels he charged with folly. How much less is in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth? They are destroyed from the morning to evening. They perish forever without any regard of it. Does not their excellency which is in them go away? They die, even without wisdom. So he's comparing, you know, he's saying that the spirit came to him and told him this. and he received a little bit of what the Spirit was saying to him. But I believe that the Spirit was actually and telling him, you know, what is man? Man ain't nothing. And he's speaking like he is time. Okay, and he's convincing this man that man is nothing, and the Most High regard is not man. Chapter 5, Job chapter 5, verse 1. Call now if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints wilt thou turn? For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. I have seen the foolish things, taking root, but suddenly I curse his habitation. His children are far from safe. They are crushed in the gate. Neither is there any to deliver them. Now, he's equating this to Job. Got to understand this, that you are a foolish man. Children are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate. How did Job's kids die? They were crushed in the gate, in the house. Neither is there any to deliver them. Whose harvest the hungry eat up, and taketh it even out of the thorns, and the robber swallows up their substance. Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, affliction don't come from the dead, neither does trouble spring out of the ground. Yet man is born unto trouble, as the sparks fly upward. I would seek unto Elohim, and unto Elohim would I commit my cause. So he's telling Job, hey, you need to submit to Elohim. Something's wrong. He's telling him, you're not in submission to the Most High, or this would not have come on you, which does great things and unsearchable and marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the field, to set up on high those that be low, and that those which mourn may be exalted to safety. He disappointed the device of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. Now, the things that he's saying, they are true of the wicked. And so this Satan works. So he's saying some things that are true, but he's not identifying it. He's identifying it as the wicked, but he's also telling this to Job, because he has said that these things have come on Job because he's a hypocrite, okay, and that he's reaping what he sowed. This is his real overall purpose for what he's saying. He takes verse 13 again. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. They meet with darkness in the daytime and grope in the noonday as the night. But he saves the poor from the sword and from their mouth and from the hand of the mighty. So the poor has hope, and iniquity stops her mouth. Behold, happy is the man whom Elohim corrects. Elohim is correcting you. That's why all this came on you. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. I wish I was dead. I wish I was never born. What? You've been talking to us and telling us that when it's wrong, we ought to be this, we ought to be that, and now some adversity has touched you because you've been blessed all your life, and now you've fallen apart, and you need to seek out the Most High. You need to repent. Hear how he's coming at him. Happy is the man whom Elohim corrects. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening. All this is happening to you because the Most High is chastising you. He's correcting you. For he maketh sore and bindeth up. He wounds and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in six troubles. Yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death. In war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it comes. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth. For thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with you. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitations and shall not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. If you know, he's really saying to him, you ought to know you're still going to be blessed if you take the chastisement of the Most High, if you take the correction of the Most High. And he's telling Job, hey, you must have sinned somewhere. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as the shock of corn cometh in his seed. Lo, this we have searched it. So it is, hear it, and know it for thy good. We have searched this thing out. So you need to know this. God is chastising you. And know it for your own good. Job chapter 6. Now, hear what Job says, and then we're going to move on. We're just going to hear how he responds to this first one, because it's more of the same, different logic, to the point that you understand the Most I don't see. He's up in heaven. We're down here on earth. He don't pay attention to this stuff. So each one has their own understanding. But it really comes down to, you must have done something, Job. And you're being corrected for it. But Job answered and said, oh, that my grief were thought weighed, thoroughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balance together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me, the poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. And the terrors of Elohim do set themselves in array against me. The Most High's arrows are within me, and they're tipped with poison, and it's consuming my spirit, my life. And his terrors have set themselves against me. Now remember, the Most High allowed Satan to do this. But Job don't give Satan no credit. This is all the Most High is doing as far as he's concerned. Does the wild ass pray when he has grass, or lowers the ox over his, can that which is unsavory, untasty, be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? The things that my soul refuses to touch are as many sorrowful me. Oh, that I might have my request, and that Elohim would grant me the thing that I long for. I long for death now. Even that it would please Elohim to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. Then should I yet have comfort. Yet I would harden myself in sorrow. Let him not spare, for I have not concealed the word of the Holy One. I've been speaking for him. I've been telling you guys all this stuff. And all this has befallen me. And I just want to die. And I wish the Most High would grant me death. So I don't have to go through this for the wicked. But I haven't done anything that I know of. And I've spoken his word. I've lived his word. What is my strength that I should hope? Why should I have any hope? And what is my end that I should prolong my life? I don't see no good. I don't see no light at the end of this tunnel.
Oh, in the conference.
I don't see any of that. So why do I have to hope for? Is my strength the strength of a stone? you know, a stone is almost everlasting, it's almost eternal. And so Job goes on to describe, you know, hey, I'm not like steel or stone or something that don't wear down. I'm not like that. Is my strength the strength of a stone, or is my flesh of brass? Is not my help in me, and is wisdom driven quite from me? To him that is afflicted, pity should be shown from his friends. You should be having pity on me, but instead you accusing me. But he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. His friend forsakes the fear of the Almighty and says to him, my brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, and as a stream of brooks they pass away, which are blackest by reason of ice, and wherein the snow is hid. In other words, this language is can be a little confusing, but he's saying, hey, the black ice is hidden up under the snow, and that's how you guys are. See it. What time they wax warm, they vanish. When it is hot, they are consumed out of their place. The paths of their way are turned aside. They go to nothing and perish. The troops of Tema looked, and the companies of Sheba waited for them. They were confounded because they had hope. They came together, they came there, and were ashamed. For now you are nothing. You see my casting down and are afraid. Now, this is a response to them. You see my casting down, and the real thing is you're afraid. Did I say bring unto me? Did I ask you to bring me anything? Or did I give a reward for me, of your substance? Did I ask you to come and fix my situation, in other words? Y'all came on your own. But you want to come down in me and not having pity, and criticizing and saying I have done something wrong because this has all come on me. And over through all these exchanges, he keeps telling them this is the Most High's doing. And they come up with different reasons that, hey, no, it's because you're wicked. It's because you're a hypocrite. It's because you ain't been, you know, there's something that you have not done, but you're telling other people to do it, but you haven't done it. That's the whole conversation about all this thing with his friend, okay? Each time he speaks, they find a counter-argument and said some spirit told them, or this is what they learned through life, giving their own opinion. So Job said, hey, the real reason that y'all came is y'all afraid. I ain't asked you to bring me nothing. I ain't asked you to give me nothing out of your substance or deliver me from the enemy. I have not asked you to do this or redeem me from the hand of the mighty. Teach me, and I will hold my tongue. Tell me what I've done, and I won't say nothing. I'll receive the rebuke, but what you're saying I know ain't true. And cause me to understand wherein I have erred. I've been doing everything. Remember, the Most High even said Job was perfect and upright. And Job is perfect and upright and doing everything that he's doing because he has a true fear of the Most High. He understands that. And that's where we today, 95, 96, 97% of us, don't have a real fear of him. We don't have a real fear of knowing how he operates. We have made up an Elohim in our own mind, and he wouldn't do this, and he wouldn't do that. And if something wicked comes upon me, it's because I did something wrong, when it may be to test you. And will you lose your faith? Said, curse Elohim and die. And Job said, hey, shall we not receive blessing, good and evil, from the Most High? He understands. But we have made the Most High something else. And yeah, wickedness should come on the wicked. And the Most High will uphold the righteous. But if he wants to bring evil upon you, to test you, to prove you, if he wants to allow Satan to turn you over to Satan to see what is in you, he can do that. And this is how most of your friends, most of your acquaintances will respond to you. And if they don't respond that way to you, more than likely they're thinking it. You had to do something. All this wouldn't have came on you just because for y'all to teach you a lesson, kill your children, take away all your wealth, and a lot of us can't comprehend that. Because why would Elohim do that? How forceful are right words? But what does your arguing prove? You know, you're telling me that I'm a hypocrite, and you bring some argument to me about, you know, this only happens to wicked people. But I ain't done no wickedness. So what are your words proving? They ain't proving nothing. Do you imagine to prove words and the speeches of one that is strict, which are as the wind? Yeah, you overwhelm the fatherless, and you dig a pit for your friend. Now Job is on the attack. Now, therefore, be content. Look upon me, for it is evident unto you if I lie. Return, I pray you, let it not be iniquity. Yea, return again, my righteousness is in it. If there is iniquity in my tongue, cannot my taste discern perverse things? Job chapter 7. Is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth? So he's going to spit back his arguments to him. Okay. I know these things that you're saying. And what you're saying to me, it is nothing. I know these things. Are not his days also like the days of a hireling? You know, when you hire somebody, you don't hire them forever. You hire them to do the job. And if that be every day to come in and do a job like we do a business, then eventually that is still going to come to an end. But typically, if we need, you know, we got a plumbing job, we hire the plumber, they come in and fix the plumbing, then they're gone. The painter, they come in, they paint, they're gone. What he's talking about? There's an end to it. And he's saying, isn't that like our day? We come to do a job and then we die. As a servant earnestly desires the shadow, and as a hireling looketh for the reward of his work. So the servant earnestly desiring the shadow, the shade. Because the servant is somebody you own. And they're working, and their own reward really is some easement. So if they're working in the heat of the day, they're looking for the shade. The hireling is looking for what? His reward for his work. You hired me for $10. The work is done, give me my $10. So am I me, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. He's comparing himself to, you know, this is what I have to look forward to now. The Most High has turned against me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise and the night be gone? And I am full of tossing to and fro unto the dawning of the day, because I have no peace of mind. I am consumed with, what have I done? Where did I err at? If you know, tell me. Tell me. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken, become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. My eyes shall no more see good. The eye of him that has seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are open upon me, and I am not. What you used to know of me, that's not me. That's not where I'm at right now. As the cloud is consumed and vanished away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. So Job is hoping for death, that he don't have to see life no more, that he don't have to continue going through this. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I'm going to tell the truth. This is how I'm feeling. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I a sea or a whale that thou settest a watch over me? When I say my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint, then thou scarest me with dreams, talking about the Most High now, and terrifies me through vision, so that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than my life. I have, you know, I don't really have anything to look forward to. Everything that I work for, everything that gave me pleasure, you've taken away. I loathe it. I would not live always. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. I've been doing all this for nothing. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him, and thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment? What is man that you visit him and that you try him, that you test him every moment? How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle? Really, Job is asking the Most High, please, please, please leave me alone. Stop with these trials and these tests. I'm drained. I have no strength. And this man is supposed to be here to comfort me. He's just talking words, trying to tell me I don't know what's going on. I have sinned, what shall I do unto thee? Or that, O thou preserver of men, why hast thou set me as a mark against me, so that I am a burden to myself? Kind of bad when you're a burden to your own self. Tired of feeling sick. I'm tired of hurting. I'm tired of wondering, what have I done? And why dost thou not pardon my transgression? If I've sinned, how come you're not pardoning me? I used to make sacrifice, and it doesn't record it here, but he probably made a sacrifice for himself. If I've offended thee, let me make a sacrifice. Because he used to do it for his kids, just in case they had sinned. So you know he's going to make a sacrifice for himself. Why dost thou not pardon my transgression and take away my iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. Now, that is Job's heart. You have turned against me without a cause. And the Most High more or less said the same thing. Satan, I allowed you to go and hurt my servant. I brought him to you, and this is what you said. And I allowed you to do this without a cause. So he's speaking the truth. Now, his next friend comes up and gives his rationale why this is going on. In the end, he believes that Job has sinned, that he has done some iniquity, and that's why he's receiving this. And then Job responds to him. Then the next friend comes up and says whatever to Job. And then Job responds to him. And this goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Let's go to Job chapter 26. We're not going to go through all that back and forth. I suggest that you read it because really these are supposed to be holy men. They're his best friends. And when they see this come upon him, in their heart of hearts, you must have done something wrong. The Most High wouldn't just do this to you. That's the bottom line. Okay? So Job chapter 26. What he wants is help from his friends. And the only thing he's getting from his friends is condemnation. That's what he's getting from his friends. Condemnation. Dude, either you a hypocrite, either you were doing all this stuff for show, or your faith is not as much as you say that it is, or your teachings are false. You got to really read it to find out, you know, because of this happening to him, everything about him they bring into question. And it may be some jealousy there. Hidden jealousy that's been there all along. And now this has happened to him, so now is the time to attack. Now is the time to say what's really on our mind. Because if you were all that righteous, this would have never happened. Understand that that is the gist of the conversation. And the rationale, and, you know, Job continually tells them, hey, you ain't comforting me, and you're against me. And he keep having to respond to them in this like manner. Now Job is going to start to speak, and he's going to start speaking because I believe really in my heart that this is the Most High speaking through Job, but in a prophetic way. And I really, you know, I'm going to have to take the time to come back through these particular verses, you know, chapter 26 through 32 at another time and then, you know, on my own and go before the Most High, because I know that there's some hidden things here that I still need to have revealed to me. So I'm not going to say that I have all revelation in this, but let's listen to this, what Job said, his finding. And we're going to see that in the end, their conclusion is that Job thinks he's more righteous than the Most High. Okay? I've done nothing. I have, you know, I've not erred. Nobody can show me where I erred at. And the minute Job makes that step to insinuate that he's more righteous than the Most High, then the Most High's anger is kindled against Job. Because, you know, rather than his friends comforting him, they have worn him down to now where he's going to sin with his lips. But he's not going to speak falsely. It's his attitude. It's where he's coming from. That's the problem. Not that he's speaking anything that's untrue. But see, you can say the truth, and it's the way that you say it. That can be the problem. But Job answered and said, how hast thou helped me that is without power? You see, I'm weak. How have you helped me? How savest thou the arm that has no strength? How hast thou counseled him that has no wisdom? How hast thou plentiful the thing as it is? To whom has, to whom hast thou uttered words? And whose spirit came from thee? Dead things are formed from under the water, and the inhabitants thereof. Hell is naked before him, and destruction has no covering. He stretches out the north over the empty place and hangs the earth upon nothing. Now, he's really making a rebuke to the last man that talked to him, okay? Because the last man that actually talked to him is like, he don't see. The Most High don't see all this that, you know, we go through. He don't care. that kind of thing. And so Job is saying, hey, everything the Most High sees. He stretched out the north over the empty place. He hangs the earth upon nothing. He binds up the waters in his thick cloud, and the cloud does not rent under him, under them. He holds back the face of the throne and spreadeth his cloud upon it. Now, really what Job is doing is he's saying, when we read all this, Job is actually saying that the Most High is in charge of everything. His mystery. You know, he can make a cloud thick with water and it don't rain. It just passes over you. And then he can tell the cloud to what? Break forth and rain. He's controlling it all. The minute little thing that, you know, we might say, we don't understand how that happens. Job is saying, hey, the Most High does all this. He's in control of all this. He's going to go through and just go through the little things that, you know, we think that we take for granted, or we may not ever wonder about, or we just say that it is. It's just, you know, it just is. Job is saying, hey, the Most High is in charge of all that stuff. Okay? He holds back the face of his throne and spreadeth his clouds upon it. He has compassed or surrounded the waters with bounds, with boundaries, until the day and night come to an end. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his. He divided the sea with his power, and by his understanding he smiteth through the proud. By his spirit he has garnished the heaven. His hand has formed the crooked serpent. Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him. But the thunder of his power, who can understand? That all these things that happen in the earth that we either take for granted or we don't know how they happen, they're because of the Most High, period. He set it in order. He controls it. To continue. So he's going to go on for a little bit here. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, as Elohim liveth, who taketh away his judgment, and the Almighty, who has vexed my soul. All the while my breath is in me, and the spirit of Elohim is in my nostrils. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Elohim forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me. You try to say it's me? I'm not going to admit to nothing y'all saying. And I'm going to continue with my complaint. What have I done? I just want to know. My righteousness, I hold fast. Underline that. My righteousness, I hold fast. I will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. I'm not taking credit for anything y'all saying. And I still hold to my innocence. I still hold to my righteousness. I still hold to that I don't know what I've done wrong. Let my enemy be as the wicked, and he that rises up against me as the unrighteous. So now he's talking against his friend. Y'all done came here. Y'all said y'all came here to comfort me. But you're showing yourself to be my enemy. And so now he's actually pronouncing a judgment on them. You came to comfort me? But I'm going to speak to you in a parable. I don't really want you to understand what I'm saying. Let my enemies be as wicked, and he that rises up against me as unrighteous. For what is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he has gained, when Elohim taketh away his soul. Will Elohim hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call upon Elohim? I will teach you by the hand of Elohim. That which is with the Almighty will I not conceal. Behold, all you yourself have seen it. Why then are you thus altogether vain? Why are y'all vain? Y'all have seen these things, but you really walk in unbelief. This is the portion of the wicked. This is the man with Elohim and the heritage of the oppressors, which they shall receive of the Almighty. If his children be multiplied, it is for the sword, and his offspring shall not be satisfied with bread. Now, again, Job is speaking by parable, but I also believe that the Most High is speaking through Job. Those that remain of him shall be buried in death, and his widow shall not weep. Though he heap up silver as dust, and prepare raiment as the clay, he may prepare it, but the just shall put it on, and the innocent shall divide the silver. He builds his house as a mop, and as a boot that the keeper makes. The rich man shall lie down, but he shall not be gathered. He opens his eyes, and he is not. Terror take hold on him as water. A tempest steals him away in the night. To eat him away, and he departed, as a storm hurls him out of his place. For Elohim shall cast upon him, and not spare. He would fain flee out of his hand. Men shall clap their hands at him, and shall hiss him out of his place. Now, understand this, all these things that Job has suffered, truly are supposed to happen to the wicked. And Job knows this. And his friends say, well, you must have done something wrong. And you must be a hypocrite. Well, remember, the Most High brought Job to Satan. Have you considered my servant? That's why I say, can the Most High brag on you? Can you go through this? All that Job has gone through. And will you still maintain, if you know you're innocent, maintain your innocence? Now, what Job is saying, hey, if I have done anything wrong, I deserve this. But I don't know that I've done anything wrong. And y'all keep telling me I have. But y'all can't tell me what I've done wrong. So I'm going to keep professing my righteousness. I'm going to keep professing that I keep the law, that I teach you his way. Chapter 28. Surely there is a vein for silver and a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth, and brass is molten out of stone. He setteth an end to darkness and searches out all the perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadows of death. The flood breaketh out from the inhabitants, even the waters forgotten of the foot. They are dried up. They are gone away from men. And the Most High is in charge of all this stuff. As for the earth, out of it cometh bread, and under it is turned up as it were fire. The stones of it are the place of sapphire, and it has dust of gold. There is a path where no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye has not seen. The lion's whelp have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. He put his forth his hand upon the rock. He overturns the mountains by the root. Now, he's saying how mighty the Most High is. Flip over a mountain by its root. All these little things. The lion's whelp. You know, there's a place that they have not seen. It's a place that the raven and the vulture hasn't seen. He put forth his hand upon the rock and overturns the mountains by the root. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks. His eyes seeth every precious thing. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the things that is hid bringeth he forth to light. But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? So if you're looking for wisdom and you're looking for understanding, all these things the Most High does, and you can't find it up under a mountain. You can't find it in a river. You can't find it in nature. You have to look at those things and understand that it is all the Most High. Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth said, it is not in me. Wisdom ain't down here. And the sea said, it is not in me. It ain't here either. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir or Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. You can't buy it. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above ruby. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom? Where does wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? Seeing is hid from the eyes of all the living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof in our ears. Elohim understands the way thereof. Elohim understands where to find wisdom is. He understands and knows where you can find it and the understanding of it. And he knows the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heaven to make the weight for the wind. And he weighs the waters by measure when he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder. Then did he see it and declare it and prepared it, yea, and searched out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of Yah, that is wisdom. And to depart from the evil is understanding. This is Job and the Most High speaking through Job. The fear of Yah is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. This is what we all have to learn and know. Understand that he's in control of everything. And you better fear him. And you better depart from evil. Because the end thereof, you really cannot. Even though you won't be able to get out of it, and you know, it is not going to kill you in the sense that you're going to be immortal. But the anguish, the torment, the end thereof, the wisdom of the Most High has devised a punishment that is everlasting. And even though if you can't imagine it right now, what it is, if you can't conceive of it, you better fear that it's going to be so great that I need to be afraid of him. I need to do what he says to do. Because, see, people will tell you, you know, hey, you're going to go into the lake of fire, you're going to burn up, and you're gone. And that's what Satan would have you to believe. But Job understands, and the Most High is really speaking through him. Job is speaking from the spirit of the Most High. And then Job going to speak of himself out of his own spirit. And if you've ever dealt with anybody who is filled with the spirit of the Most High and the Most High speaks to them, they can speak out of the spirit. Meaning that the Most High is not actually talking. Now it's them talking. And they can contradict what the Most High just said. Or say something, you know, out of the way that they shouldn't say. Because it's them and it's not the Most High speaking. I pray we can hear this. Chapter 29. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, Of what I were as in months past, as in days when Elohim preserved me. When his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of Elohim was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, and when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter. In other words, my steps were smooth, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. When I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged arose and stood up. So the young men were afraid of Job when the Most High had him in his place. And the old men paid him respect. They rose when he came. So he had a position of honor. The princes refrained from talking and laid their hand on their mouth. Job was here. We better be quiet. The nobles held their peace, and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard, then it blessed me, and when the eye saw it, it gave witness to me, because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. I did what the Most High told me to do. I did what he said. That's why the true religion is this. You know, we don't spend our money and our time doing what the Most High has told us that he wants. And Job is saying, I've done these things. I delivered the poor and the fatherless. And I helped him that had no help. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. The father, the widowless, and the homeless. I put on righteousness, it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem or a crown. And I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. In other words, he's helping everybody. He's not just spending his wealth upon himself. I was a father poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. And I break the jaws of the wicked and pluck the spoil out of his teeth. I eschewed wickedness. I fought it. Then said I shall die in my net, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. Now, he's doing all this because he wants to be blessed. He fears the Most High. He's doing what the Most High says, but he also thinks that, hey, I'm going to die in my home, and my days are going to be multiplied as the sands of the sea. My root was spread out by the waters, and the dew lay all night upon my branch. My glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand. Unto me men gave ear and waited, and kept silence at my counsel. See, I told you that his friends said, hey, you done told everybody all this stuff. You done did these things. You helped your brother and all this. And you always tell them to count and wait on the Most High. No matter what they're going through, he will help you. He will deliver you. And now trouble has come to you. And now you want to die. That's what his friend was accusing him of. All of them. And they were calling him a hypocrite. After my words, they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them. So the wise men, the noble men, when I spoke, they listened. And they didn't speak after me. They didn't butt this or, you know, contradict me. They listened to my words. And they watched for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. They received my word. If I laughed on them, they believed it not. In the light of my countenance, they cast not down. I chose out their way and sat chief and dwelt as a king in an army, as one that comforts the mourner. So Job is giving his testimony. But he's saying, I'm a righteous man. I've done all these things. But now they are younger than I have, me in derision. But now they that are younger than I have me in derision. They see this calamity come on me, and now they don't want to support me. Now they want to talk about me. Hold on a second. In whom old age was perished. Okay, let me go back to verse 1, chapter 30, verse 1. But now they that are younger than I have me in derision, whose fathers I would have disdained to have set with the dogs of my flock. Those, these young men, their fathers were something else. I wouldn't even, equal them or put them with the dogs of my flock. Yea, whereunto might the strength of their hands profit me, in whom old age was perished. They don't come to help me. For want and famine they were solitary, fleeing into the wilderness, in former time desolate and waste, who cut up mellows by bushes and juniper roots by their meat. They were driven forth from among men. They cried after them as after a thief, to dwell in the cliffs of the valley, in the caves of the earth, and in the rock. Now, these are all not good things. These were people who were lowly, and they didn't have it good. Among the bushes, they betrayed. They brayed, and under the nettles, they were gathered together. They were children of fools, yea, children of base men. They were viler than the earth. And now am I their song. Yea, I am their byword. So these were people who were wicked. And their sons used to respect me, but now they see this come on me. And now I'm a byword to them. Look at that fool. Look at that hypocrite. This is what he's saying. Now they talk evil against me. Horror me. They hate me. They flee far from me and spare not to spit in my face, because he has loosed my cord and afflicted me. They have also let loose the bridle before me. Upon my right hand rise the youth. They push away my feet, and they raise up against me the ways of their destruction. They used to respect me. Now they don't respect me. They mar my path. They set forward my calamity. They have no helper. They came upon me as a wide breaking. They came upon me as a wide breaking in of waters. In the desolation, they rolled themselves upon me. So when they see that I'm down, then they gonna roll up on me and roll over me like I was nothing. Talk bad about me, scorn me. Before, this, none of this would have happened. But now that this calamity is upon me, all y'all disrespect me. You're young men and you're old. Terrors are turned upon me. They pursue my soul as the wind, and my welfare passes away as a cloud. And now my soul is poured out upon me, the days of affliction. I have taken hold upon me. My bones are pierced in me in the night season, and my sinew takes no rest. By the great force of my disease is my garment changed. It bindeth me about as a collar of my coat. It's got a hold on me. He has cast me into the mire, into the dirt, and I am become like dust and ash. I cry unto thee, thou dost not hear me. I stand up, thou regardest me not. Thou art become cruel to me, and with thy strong hand thou opposest thyself against me. Thou liftest me up to the wind. Thou causest me to ride upon it, and dissolvest my substance. Now he's referring to the Most High. You have allowed all this to come on me because this is what you have done to me. For I know that thou wilt bring me to death, and to the house appointed for all living. Howbeit, he will not stretch out his hand to the grave, though they cry in his destruction. Did not I weep for him that was in trouble? Was not my soul grieved for the poor? When I looked for the good, then evil came upon unto me. When I looked for good, then evil came unto me. And when I waited for light, there came darkness. My bowels boiled and rested not. The days of my affliction prevented me. I went mourning without the sun. I stood up and I cried in the congregation. And I am a brother to dragons and a companion to owls. In other words, what he's saying here, when your bowels boil, like you got diarrhea, you stick to your stomach and you got an upset stomach and it's burning and, you know, you got to run. He's in bad shape. Okay. And it's all because of the days of his affliction. He couldn't get rest. He wasn't at peace. I'm outside, I'm living outside with the lizards and the owls, the night creatures. My skin is black upon me and my bones are burned with heat. I'm exposed to the elements. And the only creature that, the only race that gets black is the black man. Those people of color. Europeans do not turn black. My harp also is turned to mourning. That's my song. My instrument is mourning. And my organ into the voice of them that weep. So Job is saying, hey, I was once respected. I was honored. And your fathers, they were vile men. But y'all respected me. Y'all took my word of counsel because I always spoke the word of the Most High. And I always did what the Most High said. I fed the hungry. I looked out for the widow. I looked out for the fatherless. Those that didn't have, I gave. Job 31:1. I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Why should I think upon a young woman? For what portion of Elohim is there from above? And what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? I made a covenant. I wouldn't look at a woman like that. I wouldn't sneak around and take the maidens, the young girls, the young women in an unrighteous way, because that's wicked. Does not he see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or my foot has tasted the deceit, be weighed in an even balance, that Elohim may know my integrity. If I've done anything wicked, if I've walked not in his ways, if I've done some iniquity, let me be weighed evenly. Because what I'm receiving, I haven't done anything worse than the scales aren't balanced. If my step has turned out of the way and my heart walked after my eyes, and a lot of us do that, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, pride of life. And if any blot has cleaved in my hand, then let me sow and let another eat. This is what you said will happen to the wicked. This is what the Most High says will happen. I'll sow and somebody else will eat of it. Let my offspring be rooted out. If my heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I have laid wait for my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind unto another. That's rough. If I've done these things, then let my wife sleep with another and grind unto him. And let others bow down upon her. For this is a heinous crime. Yea, it is an iniquity to be punished by the judge. If I've done these things, if I've looked at another one, if I've gone to take another woman, if I've listened to some woman and allowed her to sweet talk me, if I've gone to my neighbor's house and took his wife or his possession, then let my wife grind on another one. And don't let her grind on me. And let others bow down onto her, upon her. In other words, let them sleep with her. For this is a heinous crime. It's evil. For it is a fire that consumeth destruction and would root out all my increase. If I did despise the cause of my manservant or my maidservant when they contended with me, what then shall I do when Elohim rises up? And when he visits, what shall I answer him? See, we are accountable for everything, how we treat others, those that are put in our charge, when they bring, you know, a accusation or they have a concern or a problem, how you contend with them, how you reason with them, how you settle the issue. Do you just treat them as a servant? Or do you really deal with them as a person? How, if I'm being unfair with them, then how am I going to be when the Most High comes to me and I contend with him? What shall I answer him? What shall I say to him? That's why I said, you know, long time ago, it's like the Most High said, if you came before me right now, what could you say to get out of the trouble that you're in? What could you say to make me have mercy on you? There's nothing you could say. There's nothing that you can contend with me. It is solely by my mercy and by my grace that you are saved. Tell me nothing. You can't say anything to me. You couldn't lie your way out of a situation. The things you did that you know were wrong, you can't lie about them. I already know. I even know what your heart was concerning it. I even know when you were doing some things that you knew you weren't supposed to do and you were dreading it while you were doing it. What you going to say to me? How are you going to contend with me? Only thing you can do is accept my judgment. Can't argue it. And Job knows this. This is what he's saying. Did not he that made me in the womb make him the servant? And did not one fasten us in the womb? Didn't the same one fasten both of us? Didn't he make both of us in the womb? If I have withheld the poor from their desire, or have caused their eyes of the widows to fail, or have eaten any morsel, my morsel, myself alone, and the fatherless has not eaten thereof, for from my youth He was brought up with me, as with a father, and I have guided her from my mother's womb. So I'm doing everything that the Most High has told me to do. If his loins have not blessed me, and if he were not warmed with the fleece of my sheep, if I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless when I saw my help in the gate, then let my arm fall from my shoulder blade and my arm be broken from the bone. If I haven't done these things, then let my arm fall from the shoulder blade. Good grief. For destruction from Elohim was a terror to me. He fears the Most High. The fear of Yah is wisdom. And he's saying the terror of the Most High, the destruction from the Most High was a terror to me. And by reason of his highness, I could not endure. If I have made gold my hope, if I'm trusting in my riches, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence, my 401k, my retirement check, my disability, my social security, if I've trusted in that, if I said, thou art my confidence, if I rejoice because my wealth was great and because my hand had gotten much, if I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in the brightness, and my heart has been secretly enticed, or my mouth has kissed my hand, ain't nobody greater than you, Bubba. If I've done that, this also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge. For I should have denied the Elohim that is above. If I'm trusting in myself, I'm denying him. If I think I've done all this, I'm denying him. If I take credit for where I'm at, I'm denying him. If I rejoice at the destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when evil found him, neither have I suffered my mouth to sin by wishing a curse to his soul. If the men of my tabernacle said not, oh, that we had of his flesh, we cannot be satisfied. So Job is saying, if I wish destruction on my enemy, then I sin. I ain't wish destruction on my enemy. And if the men of my tabernacle said not, oh, that we had of his flesh, we cannot be satisfied if we can have what he had. The stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. Can we say the same thing? Because we ain't hardly let no stranger in our house. Because, you know, we got crazy people in the world. They had crazy people in the world then, too. But you got to believe that the Most High is going to what? Watch over you? That he's going to keep you? If I covered my transgression, that's Adam. Adam and Eve, when they ate from the tree, they hid themselves, hid their sin. Job is saying, hey, if I covered my transgression like Adam did, hid what I've done by hiding my iniquity in my bosom. I did wrong, and I hid it. I ain't say tell it. And I played like I was sinless. If I've done that, did I fear a great multitude? Were I afraid of the mass? Or did the contempt of family terrify me? What my family going to think? If I tell my family I'm a Hebrew Israelite, what they going to think? If I tell them that I'm keeping the statutes, laws, commandments, judgments of the Most High, what are they going to think? If I say I'm about to do X, Y, Z, what are they going to think? Does it terrify me? Am I afraid to tell them that I kept silent and went not out the door? Oh, that one would hear me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me and that my adversary had written a book. Because if my adversary wrote my story, then my story is going to be that I did righteous. And oh, that the Most High would answer me, what have I done? Surely I would take it upon my shoulder and bind it as a crown to me. I take this book and I would bind it to myself. I would put it on my shoulder, carry it around. This is my testimony. I would declare it unto him the number of my steps. As a prince would I go near unto him. If my land cry against me, and that the furrows likewise thereof complain, if I have eaten the fruits thereof without money, and have caused the owners thereof to lose their life. In other words, if I, you know, I got land rented out to people, but I haven't even eaten of that land that I rented out to them. I paid them even for the fruit that they produced on my own land. I didn't say, 'cause it's my land, I can eat whatever I want. And then caused them to lose their life, their livelihood, because it was my land. Let thistles grow instead of wheat, and the cockle instead of barley. So bad weed, then good plants. That the words of Job are ended. Now, Job said, I'm going to hold to my righteousness. And I'm not going to listen to nothing y'all saying. If I have not done all these things, if my heart has not been right before the Most High, and in a way, he's speaking to the Most High, if I haven't done these things, give me an answer. Tell me where I messed up at. Wow, it's 11 o'clock already, past 11. We're going to stop here. Didn't realize so much time had passed. We're going to stop here. When we pick this up again, I'm trying to think when we're going to do this again. This is next Sabbath lesson. Okay. We're going to stick to the schedule and be obedient. We'll have spiritual wellness on this evening. We are still doing Black History. We are reading through the centuries the evidence from different sources that we are the people of the book, so that we can come from a position of knowledge and strength. And it's not to condemn anybody, it's to be able to defend our position when people say, well, you're not the people of the book. When people say, you know, it doesn't matter. So we will see on that on tonight. We're not trying to tear down the Gentiles or anything like that. We simply want to be able to understand and know without, you know, just somebody telling you, oh, you're a Hebrew Israelite, that the history itself proves that we are the people of the book. And by proof, this is why we stay doing what we're doing. It's not just a matter of we heard. There are testimonies and there are witnesses, there are historical documents that say that we are the people of the book. Things besides the Bible. And so we want to be well-versed in this because you got a lot of people claiming to be the people of the book. The Mormons claim to be the people of the book. The Europeans claim to be the people of the book, Yah's people, but history says Yah ain't it. And it's been hidden from us, and it's been intentionally hidden from us. And now the knowledge is available. We need to get it as a people so that we can walk in it. And it's not so that we can glorify ourselves, because truthfully, we have nothing to be to glorify ourselves in. If we look at how our forefathers treated the Most High, how can we brag about them or even coming from them? The only thing we have to brag about is that he chose us and that he would redeem us in the end. But our actions and the actions of our forefathers, there is no way that we should be bragging about it. But that don't mean that we have to walk in ignorance. That don't mean that we can't have knowledge of who we are. So we want to walk in knowledge. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints. For that is wisdom. And that is understanding. Flee from evil and fear Yah. Till we meet again. Shalom, family.
Shalom, Brother Miles. Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath.
Shalom, everyone. Happy Sabbath.
Shalom, everyone. Happy Sabbath.
Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath. Enjoy the rest of your day. See you this evening. Peace and blessings.